Praise the Lord, message number 84. The title of the message is The Second Coming of Christ, Part 1. Lord, we thank you for this time you give us. We bless your holy name. We magnify you, O Lord. O God, I pray that the message will be a blessing to each and every one of us and will prepare us as a church to receive you when you will come. O God, make us ready through your word with the help of the Holy Spirit. I pray for revival. I pray for transformation. I pray for the people to be aware, O Lord, that your coming is near and they will commit their life fully unto you, Lord. O God, anoint my lips and put word and arrange the message in the way that you want it to be. We thank you and we praise you. This all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you one question, but just answer it in your mind. The question is this: what are you thinking right now? What are the things that occupied your mind? Put the answer in your mind while you are waiting to receive the rest of the message. The question is here. After you answer the first question, what you are thinking right now, the question that is addressed to you right now is, have you put in your mind the second coming of Christ? Are you waiting for his return to take us and to be with him forever? Many, they think which time they will be promoted, which time they will get increased salary, which time they can get their own house, their own car, which time that they will have a family. These are all wishes and good wishes, but we should not forget that we are waiting right now for the second coming of Christ. In book of Romans and chapter 13 and verse 11, Paul say this, and do this, understanding the present time, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believe. 2000 years ago, Paul said that our salvation is nearer now than when we first believe. Now 2000 years ago, and it was nearer. How much more now? The Lord may come at any moment. Even now, he may return. And we as a church, we should be ready for that. 1 Corinthians 7:29. What I mean, brothers, is that the time is short. The time is short. We are at the end times and we are waiting for the Lord to come. The Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven around 2000 years ago. He was crucified, put to death. He was put to death for our sin. He was buried. On the third day, he rose from the dead. On day 40, he went up to heaven. He ascended to heaven in the sight of all his apostles. And in day 50, the Lord sent the Holy Spirit upon his disciples and the church. And from that time, the church was filled with the Holy Spirit and moved forward to preach the gospel and to make disciples and to reach all nations. And here we are waiting for Him to come back, to return, so that He will take us and we will be with the Lord forever. In Luke chapter 21, the disciples, they were asking the Lord, and they were speaking about the temple, and the Lord took the opportunity and He spoke to them about His second coming. Luke chapter 21, and we will read from verse 1, we will read from verse 5 to verse 19, and as we read we will explain. Some of His disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God, but Jesus said, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." The disciples, they were focusing on the building, and they were happy to see a nice building, but the Lord directed them to the truth and the eternal truth about eternal life and about what is waiting for them, what is waiting for them to receive from the Lord, what is waiting for us to receive from the Lord. Around us there are many beautiful things, buildings, cities, things worldly, and we admire achievement of men, but the Lord here is directing us toward the thing that is unseen, toward the thing that His word speak, that He will come and take us with Him, to be with Him forever. In verse 7, "Teacher," they ask, "when will these things happen, and what will be the sign that they are about to take place?" They realize that the Lord wants to direct them from what they are thinking right now toward something more precious to them and more worthy for them to think, so that they will be preparing themselves. The same way, hear the message. God wants to attract your attention from things that is make you busy, occupied, anxious about, involved with, but you are forgetting that time will come, the Lord is coming, and you need to prepare yourself. Jesus started to speak to them about the signs of the end times, and He told them, He replied in verse 8, "Watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, claiming I am He, and the time is near. Do not follow them." He is speaking about false Christ. Every now and then, there's people will arise and they will say that we are Christ. They are false Christ. And the Lord say, "Watch out that you are not deceived. Don't follow such things. We are still waiting for the Lord." These are the signs of His coming, that His coming is soon. When people, the false Christ, they claim that they are Christ. When you hear, verse 9, "when you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." How we know that the time is near? Now, many revolutions, wars, fighting. Then He said to them, verse 10, "nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." So there is war, fighting, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, riot, hatred, murdering and killing. All these are the things that show that His coming is near now. Life becoming more difficult, and it will be more as we are approaching His second coming. Things will become worse. In verse 11, there will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilence in various places, and fearful events, and great signs from heaven. So we find here also another things, earthquakes. Every now and then we hear earthquakes, famines, pestilence, sicknesses, AIDS. All these are signs that His coming is soon. Verse 12, but before all this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. Persecution is a sign of His second coming, that His coming is soon. And the Bible says that everyone who want to live a godly life will be persecuted. They will deliver you to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. There will be persecution, because as we are waiting for the coming of the Lord, we will live in holiness. We will live in full commitment to Him. We will be separated from the worldly things and the things that is so prevalent in the world, the corruption, the immoralities, the worldliness, the injustice. As we are separating from all these things and living in holiness, people will start to hate us, because our life as a testimony to them is a condemnation for their sin that they are doing against the Lord. This will result in verse 13 in your being witnesses to them. As we live in holiness, we'll be witness to them. Your holy living is a witness for the people around you. All the people, they lie, but you tell the truth. All the people, they go for immoralities, boyfriends and also girlfriends, and they will go for multiple marriages and divorce and remarriage. All these are forms of immoralities. Second wife, second husband, all these are forms of immorality. But when you stand firm, you are a witness to them that your holy living, it show them the word of God in action. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you would defend yourself, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. People will oppose you, people will speak many things bad against you, and they may persecute you, they may trouble you. They may try to push you aside. They may revenge or speak something or do something against you. But the Lord promised here that He will give us the words and the wisdom that none of those who are against us will be able to resist or contradict us. That is here the promises of the Lord. As we are waiting for the Lord, we need to be ready, preparing ourselves. And how we prepare ourselves? We live in holiness. We know what is wrong. We know stealing is wrong, cheating is wrong, telling lies is wrong. And as we refrain from all these things, there will be a people who will be angry with us, because we are no more condoning their sin and no more agreeing with them with the wrongdoing that they are doing. So they may fight and they may try to trouble, but the Lord say they will not be able to achieve things against the will of the Lord. Verse 16, you will be betrayed even by parents. Be ready for betrayal, brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. That's where the persecution take place. The people, they want to revenge, and sometime we may lose our life for Christ. But don't worry, we have a place in heaven, even they kill us, we live with the Lord forever. They can kill only the body, but they cannot kill our soul and spirit. All men will hate you because of me. Verse 17, people will hate us. I say that if all the people love me, it means I am not good. It means I am compromising. But when the people hate me, that is a good testimony because I stand for the Lord. In verse 18, the Lord promised, but not a hair of your head will perish. And that's here the promise of God. Even they persecute us, they may kill us, they may put us to death, but the Lord said that not a hair of your head will perish. Verse 19, by standing firm, you will gain life. God wants us to stand firm, to continually stand firm in the Lord, not to be intimidated, not to be afraid. As we focus that He is coming soon and we are looking forward to meet Him, I am personally looking forward to hear from Him, well done, my good and faithful servant. So, I am not afraid, and I don't care if people get upset with me or someday get bad opinion about me or get affected by one way or another. I am standing firm. By standing firm, I am gaining life to be with the Lord forever. The Lord also in Matthew chapter 24 spoke also about the signs that will precede His second coming. Some of these things, as we have read in the book of Luke, are similar, but I want to emphasize a few verses from Matthew chapter 24 verse 9 to 14. We must know that the coming of the Lord will be a sudden. These signs that we are speaking, it shows that He is coming soon, and the more we are approaching His second coming, the signs will become more profound and more clear. So that remind us always to be ready. If you find more corruption around you, the Lord is nearer. The Lord is coming sooner than or nearer than before. Prepare yourself more. Not to do like them. Be separated from the corruption, from the worldliness, from cheating, immoralities, stealing, from riot, from fighting, from anger, from unforgiveness, because the Lord's coming is soon. Matthew 24 verse 9, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all the nations because of me. I say, people should hate us. If all the people love us, no one hates us, it means that we are compromising. But when we start with the Lord, certain people, they will get upset because what we speak contradict their ambition and their sinful lifestyle. Verse 10, at that time many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. Why they will turn away from faith? Because they are not willing to stand firm. They are deceived by the world around us, around them. And many false prophets, verse 11, will appear and deceive many people. False prophets here, people who speak lies, who are not teaching correctly, people who are not declaring to the people the full will of God, those are false prophets. Now, what is going on? Preaching is becoming soft. No one wants to rebuke or correct because the people get upset. But this is a false teaching. This is a false prophet's work. When we don't tell the people the truth face to face, we are deceiving them. We are deceiving them. In verse 12, Because of increase of wickedness, the love of mass will grow cold. Our love to God, your love to God, sometimes you are not aware, is growing cold. Before you are loving Him more, you are giving more to God, you are getting, you were more involved with the work of God, because your love to the Lord was big. But now your love to God becoming less. Why? Because of increased wickedness. Around us there are so rampant wickedness. You will find even evildoer whom they have things and material things more than you. You may be getting tired and say, why I should then follow God? Those people, they are not following God. They are doing wrong, but they have things like me or some of them better than me. That is the deception of devil. That's why we study the word of God. When the Lord will come, before He will come, there's increased wickedness. And the thing here that you may find wicked people also prosperous. The Bible never say that the wicked will not prosper. They may prosper temporarily, but finally they will be thrown into the hell. Their temporal prosperity should not be the reason for you to be deceived. Wake up, O sleeper, let Christ shine on you. Return back to the Lord. Don't be deceived by the increasing wickedness. We can read more about the increase in wickedness. We can read in the book of Timothy, book of Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we will read from verse 1 to verse 8, and we will explain. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. There will be terrible times. In which way there will be troubles? Let us read verse 2. People will be lovers of themselves. He's speaking about the sin of the people. Not because earthquake, not because famine or wars. These all are there. But the terrible times here, because people are doing wrong. Here does not speak, he is not speaking about the rapture. He is speaking about what is going on just before the coming of the Lord at the last days. We know that the coming of the Lord will be sudden. The terrible times in the last days is in the sinful nature of the people, and with the increased wickedness. There are increasing wickedness nowadays, and that will make us more aware that His coming is near. People will be lovers of themselves, selfish, no one want to give, selfishness, lovers of money. Oh, they love themselves, they love money, they will do all things to get more money, how much they can get more income, boastful, boasting there, proud. All these are signs of His second coming. Abusive, rash, conceited, disobedient to their parents. That is the one of the things that shows His second coming is near, that the children are becoming more disobedient, ungrateful. People are ungrateful, unthankful to what God had given them, unholy. They live in sin, and for the people now, holiness only to the pastor, or it is not necessary the pastor also live in holiness. They are without love, verse 3, unforgiving, unforgiveness, hatred, bitterness, slanderous, gossips, without self-control. They cannot control themselves. They know it is wrong, but still they do. Brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. All these are terrible things. It is happening and will become more worse as we are approaching, as the day is approaching, as His coming is near. But we need to be away from all that, because we are preparing ourselves for His second coming. Having a form of godliness but denying His power have nothing to do with them. To warn us to be away from such things. They are the kind who warn them. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires. Immorality is so rampant now. Those who are living in immorality, they are more than those who are living in morality. Always learning, but never acknowledging, but never able to acknowledge the truth. That's in verse 7. Always learning, but never able to acknowledge the truth. They go Bible study, they read the Bible, they know the truth, but they are not doing it. Christianity is not a knowledge. It's a lifestyle. If you know the truth and you don't live it, there's no value of that. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men opposes the truth. Men of depraved minds, who as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. Who is Jannes and Jambres? Those are witchcraft. Those are the magicians who were supporting Pharaoh. When Moses, he was doing the signs and miracles, they were also imitating. He changed his rod to a snake, they also do it. They also did the same. When he changed the water to blood, they also did the same. They say, we can do it also. The same now. What is the witchcraft in the New Testament now, in our life? The Lord say that, you need to obey me so that I will bless you. What the people will say, they say that God is blessing us. We are praying. God is blessing us. But they know very well that they are doing sin. They are sinning. The Bible does not say that if you are sinning, the Lord will not give you material things. Some people, they think that when the Lord gives them material things, that the Lord is happy with them. No, God is giving you material things not because He is happy with you, but because He wants to show you love so that you might repent. The point here that is we must make it clear that we cannot reach heaven if we will not obey the Lord. Our material things or the material blessing of the Lord, we cannot take it as a standard for our approval by God. If there is sin in our life, what God gives us material things, that does not mean that He is happy with us. Some person, he told me, God happy with me. I said, how you know? He said, because He increased my salary. Now, God may give you double of your income, but still He is not happy with you. If there is sin, that increase in salary, that will not atone for that. He give you good things because He is loving, He is kind to you, He is merciful. He want to show you love. But judgment will come if you will not repent. So here, don't be like those Janis and Jambris. Why do I need to obey the Lord? I can do. I am having material things. I am having power. I am having money. So why you tell me to obey God? I don't need to do all these things. God is blessing me without doing all that. That is the witchcraft here in the New Testament. Many Christians, they are playing this role. They are opposing the truth. They oppose the truth. Men of depraved minds, they are deceived. Some people, they are just waiting for God to crush them, then they will repent. The point here, before He will come, be ready for His second coming. Matthew chapter 24, God is preparing His church. God is preparing His disciples so that when He will come, we are ready to go with Him. Verse 42 to verse 51. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. If there is sin, you repent. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect Him. He may come at any time, but if you are not ready, then you will be left behind. If you are in sin, you repent. You know what is right? You do it before He come. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. Hallelujah. God is rewarding the faithful. Those who are faithful, the Lord will reward them. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and say to himself, my master is staying away a long time. And he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That will be the outcome of those workers, those disciples who knew the Lord, who they knew their responsibility toward God, but they keep living in sin, and they abuse the grace of God. They say God is loving and forgiving. God knows that I love Him. God knows that I don't like to sin, but I am doing it. They are abusing the grace of God. Luke chapter 21 and verse 34 to verse 36. His coming is always sudden. As we see these signs around us, these things happening around us, that these things encourage us to be separate and prepare ourselves to receive the Lord, or He will receive us when He will come. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you unexpectedly like a drop. There's a warning here. Be careful, or your heart be way down. Your heart will be happy with what? Sometime we forget about it. That's why the question, what are you thinking right now? Many their answer maybe was certain problem, or think that is unrelated to the second coming of Christ, because their heart is heavy with dissipation, things that is think that is not important or ungodly, but they had been attracted to such things, and their heart are full of that drunkenness. They are not filled with the Holy Spirit, they are filled with the worldliness and the anxieties of life, thinking too much. The Bible says, guard your heart, because the spring of life, and that is in Proverbs. We will read this in Proverbs, because here he say, be careful or your heart will be way down. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Your heart should be full in love with God. Because of increased wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. How they will grow cold? Because they are not guarding their heart. There are things in the world, worldliness, loving of woman, loving of money, anxieties, enter the hearts of the people of God, and they are drawn to these things. And then when he will come, for them will be unexpected day. We need to be ready, for it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Watch and pray that you will not go into the tribulation. What we are speaking now is not tribulation, but we are speaking now about the events that happened just before the second coming, the second return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to be ready, watchful, and prayerfully asking the Lord to prepare us so that we will not go into the tribulation. Tribulation is a very hard time. When you speak about the second coming of Christ, we are speaking about revival. We are speaking about we'll come back to the Lord. We are speaking that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, separating ourselves from the world and committing our life fully unto God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word that revive, admonish, help us to hear your voice and your word, and to prepare us so that we will be ready when you will come, so that you will take us and we will be with you forever. Lord, I pray that use this message, O God, to convict your people, to take them out from darkness, O God, from sin, from corruption. Speak to them, O God, convict them, wake them up with your word and with the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, take this message and spread it and make it reach those who are in need of it and those who are waiting for you to come. Lord, we are waiting. Come, dear Lord, and take us with you so that we'll be with you forever. Bless us, Lord. Enlarge our territory. Let your hands be with us and keep us from harm so that you will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, in Christ's name. Amen and Amen.